Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us on Frontlines of Freedom's 15th anniversary. Here's an interesting fact. We have the lowest number of members presently serving in Congress who have served in our military. The 91 vets in Congress is the lowest number since at least World War II. Hey, don't automatically vote for someone because he or she's a vet, but do take that into consideration. It's our nation, and we have to be careful who we send to represent us. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. What you been up to, Skip?
Oh, Colonel, I've just been sitting on the deck, lazing around, watching my garden grow. And if you believe that, I've got some swampland to sell you. But been very, very busy, Colonel. Lots of work, you know, books and radio shows and, you know, parenting, homeschooling, you name it. But life is very, very good. And I'm a happy, happy boy.
You know what? I know what you're talking about. As long as you're with people you like, doing things you like to do. Yes, it's work, but it's great work. It's a blessing to be able to do it.
Well, and it's a bonus if the people that you like you in return.
Oh yeah. That's a big help. Okay. Here's what we have for you today. A news and comment by the Colonel. I'm going to discuss why our nation needs a well thought out foreign policy, and we need it now. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom, and former Director of National Intelligence Rick Grinnell will give us an overview on the challenges facing our nation.
Then two of this show's advisory board will interview the Colonel. You know, he's a little bit shy about all of this.
Thanks, Skip. And then the guys who founded this show will discuss how all that happened 15 years ago. Yeah, I'm one of those three guys.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. And now it is time, of course, for a news and comment by the Colonel. And of course, we'll start with the news. Take us there, Skip.
Well, Russia's invasion of Ukraine forced countries to take sides in the conflict. Sweden and Finland, who have been neutral for decades, recently petitioned to join NATO. Admission to the alliance requires unanimous consent of the 30 current members, and Turkey has signaled it will block admission of both countries. Turkey said the two countries have given support to members of the Kurdistan Workers' Party, who they consider a terrorist group, and that both countries previously banned armed exports to the country. There were talks to resolve these issues, but the talks have stalled with no plan to resume them in the near future. Turkey has been a wild card in NATO. Turkish President Erdogan has been usually cozy with both Islamic terrorists and Russian President Vladimir Putin, and they have fanned the flames of conflict in the Mediterranean. It's likely that Erdogan is using the situation to his advantage to gain leverage over us because the reasons given for blocking admission of the two countries appears thin. We have imposed sanctions and a prohibition on arms sales to Turkey because Erdogan purchased weapon systems from Russia. Turkey may be seeking to have those sanctions lifted in return for its yes vote. Turkey is also likely trying to curry favor with Vladimir Putin. Putin, for his part, seems unfazed by the development, saying that the two countries pose no threat. He also moved missiles with nuclear capability to the Finnish border in a show of strength.
There have been rumblings that Turkey could be expelled from NATO. That really seems unlikely in the short term. Our nation's leaders seem to think that the impasse will get fixed, but I have no idea how. The biggest concern should be ending the conflict in Ukraine as fast as possible.
Russia-backed separatists claim they captured a railway hub city in eastern Ukraine as Moscow's forces pushed to gain more ground by pounding another Ukrainian-held area where authorities say 1,500 people have died since the start of the war. With Russia's offensive in Ukraine's industrial Donbas region showing incremental progress, Ukrainian officials characterized the battle there in grave terms and renewed their appeals for more sophisticated Western-supplied weaponry. Without that, Ukraine's foreign minister warned, Ukrainian forces won't be able to stop Russia's advance on the east. Some European leaders sought dialogue with Vladimir Putin toward ending a war that has ravaged both Europe and Russia's economies, while Britain's foreign minister worked to rally the West's continued support for Ukraine. Quote, there should be no talk of ceasefires or appeasing Putin. We need to make sure that Ukraine wins and that Russia withdraws and that we never see this type of Russian aggression again. UK Foreign Secretary Liz Truss said. But in Ukraine's east, Russia has the upper hand. Recent fighting focused on two key cities that are all that remain under Ukrainian control in Luhansk, one of two provinces that make up the Donbas and where Moscow-backed separatists have controlled some territory for 8 years.
The question is, do we let evil prevail here or not? It looks like our answer may be that, yes, evil wins. I don't like that.
The number of soldiers who have been separated by the army due to refusing the COVID-19 vaccine has more than doubled in a month. The service has now discharged at least 742 active duty soldiers for refusal. In April, the total was 345. In addition to COVID-19, troops are mandated to receive over a dozen other vaccines, including those against smallpox, hepatitis, and the flu. However, troops are not currently required to get any COVID-19 booster shots. Right now, 90% of the active duty Army is fully vaccinated. In addition to the separations, 3,416 general officer reprimands have been given out to soldiers refusing the vaccine. The admonishments are largely seen as career killers. Soldiers can receive a religious or medical exemption from the vaccine, but those exceptions are exceedingly rare. Only 9 out of 4,428 religious exemption applications have been approved by the Army. It's unclear how those 9 soldiers made their case. The Army has approved 22 medical exemptions of the 732 requested so far. COVID-19 vaccines have been determined to be safe, but do carry a minor risk of causing some health issues, such as heart inflammation, which has affected at least 22 service members. Some governors have challenged the Pentagon's directive for the National Guard amid Republican opposition to pandemic-related mandates, saying they will not kick out any refusers. It's still unclear whether those governors will follow through with their defiance. The rules guardsmen must follow can change depending on what type of mission they are on and whether it falls under state or federal orders.
It's clear that freedom of religion is under attack in our military, not just in this matter, but also the way chaplains are being treated. At a time when our military desperately needs competent, experienced soldiers, we're throwing out troops with valid reasons for refusing the shot. By the way, everyone knows that COVID and its vaccine is very, very, very different than the other shots and vaccines required by our military. There is no parallel here.
China and Russia vetoed a UN resolution we sponsored to impose tough new sanctions on North Korea for its spate of intercontinental ballistic missile launches that can be used to deliver nuclear weapons. The vote in the 15-member Security Council was 13-2 and marked the first serious division among the 5 veto-wielding permanent members of the UN's most powerful body on a North Korea sanctions resolution. A United Security Council imposed sanctions after North Korea's first nuclear test explosion in 2006 and tightened them over the years in a total of 10 resolutions seeking, so far unsuccessfully, to rein in its nuclear and ballistic missile programs and cut off funding. But China and Russia told the Security Council after the vote that they oppose more sanctions, stressing that what's needed now is renewed dialogue between North Korea and the U.S. Our ambassador expressed disappointment but not surprise at the vote, calling North Korea's 23 ballistic missile launches this year, including 6 ICBMs after a 5-year suspension, quote, a grave threat to international peace and security, unquote.
What a bunch of nonsense. Aren't you glad that our nation provides 25% of the UN's budget? Russia and China together don't come close to half that. We need to seriously cut our support to the UN. It isn't helping us at all. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians can be and are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CV4A.org. That's CV4A.org. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Front Lines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some more wisdom. Then we'll hear from former Director of National Intelligence, Rick Grinnell. At ease, troops, take a break. Day 3 Creation is a Christian family-owned provider of American-made, non-intoxicating, non-addictive CBD products. Our Get Relief, Give Relief program sees that 10% of all profits go to Patriot Paws, providing service dogs at no cost to disabled veterans to help restore their physical and emotional independence. Giving is an expression of our thankfulness and praise to God as we recognize that everything we have belongs to the Lord. Visit day3creation.com to learn more. God bless.
Fellow Americans, we need your help. PatriotFoods.com, we are fighting for the American farmer. U.S.-only fruits and vegetables from your soil. Go to PatriotFoods.com, use your promo code FREEDOM, and you get 10% off today. Support your U.S. farmer. Promo code FREEDOM, 10% off. Thank you so much.
It's great food. I eat it. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coria with your home defense tip of the week. Next time you upgrade to a new cell phone, don't throw your old one away. If your old phone can hold a charge, you can stage this phone for emergency use in a home defense situation. Every cell phone, whether on contract or not, has the ability to call 911. Keep an old phone in the glove box of your car as well as your safe room just in case. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the front lines of freedom all across America. Troops, did you know American farmers are going out of business because folks are buying foreign food? It's not good for our nation's security if we can't feed ourselves. We need to maintain our food independence by buying food grown in America. Patriot Foods is not emergency food. It's food produced by our farmers. I love it. Use the promo code FREEDOM and save 10%. Check patriotfoods.com. That's patriotfoods.com. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. There are a lot of things that people aren't sure of. One of those things is what U.S. foreign policy is. To make an understatement, what we hear is confusing. This is really unfortunate, as the world is as unstable as it's been in my lifetime, and our nation is the most powerful and biggest economy in the world. The world is used to us being a leader, which we are clearly not now. For the third time since becoming president, Joe Biden has said he would send U.S. forces to defend Taiwan should mainland China launch an attack. And for the third time, the White House staff and State Department has had to walk back, that's diplo speak for deny, that the U.S. position has not changed from the one China policy. If you don't remember, after World War II, when the U.N. was formed, Taiwan was recognized as representing the country of China. Later, it was recognized that Communist China was the real China, and that they claimed Taiwan as a part of their country, even though Taiwan claimed to be a separate non-communist nation. Well, this is the one China policy. Perhaps President Biden meant to dissuade Beijing, but this is the same president who too rapidly and foolishly withdrew our forces from Afghanistan and promised not to send troops to Ukraine to help the government repel Russia's invasion. The excuse was that, well, Russia's a nuclear power. Well, so's China. What's the difference? Former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, now 98 years old, has jumped into the fray. In an address at the World Economic Forum in Switzerland, Kissinger said Ukraine must give up some territory to Russia to end the war and to avoid a wider conflict. I really disagree with this. If Ukraine surrendered territory to Russia, it would certainly invite Vladimir Putin to move against other countries once under the control of the Soviet Union, which I think he's strongly considering anyway. Would Henry be okay with seceding those territories to Moscow to avoid global destabilization and a wider conflict? If there was a side benefit of the Cold War, it was the Democrat and Republican administrations, along with most members of Congress, were consistent in their approach to Russia and communism. Moscow knew where we stood, and that contributed to what Ronald Reagan called peace through strength. It also led to the collapse of communist regimes in Eastern Europe and freedom for millions of people. Amazing what a clearly understood foreign policy can do. Now, I understand the feelings of those who say we can't be the policemen of the world, and with our $30 trillion in debt, we can't afford sending troops anywhere. But and this is a large but, if evil isn't opposed, it will spread. That's a very clear lesson from history that will be repeated if it's not addressed. Doing nothing and turning a blind eye to evil is what allowed Nazi Germany and Imperial Japan to wreak havoc in the world. Exhausted by the carnage of World War I, the West was reluctant to fight again, and the consequence of that reluctance was more carnage that might have been much less had we acted sooner. Yes, George Washington warned against the danger of foreign entanglements, but that was a far different era. And yes, Dwight Eisenhower warned against the military-industrial complex that always seemed to find wars it wanted to fight and demand new weapons to fight them. All too true, but this may not fall into that category either. On the subject of war, John Stuart Mill is worth quoting. I quote, "War is an ugly thing, but not the ugliest of things. The decayed and degraded state of moral and patriotic feeling, which thinks that nothing is worth a war, is much worse. A war to protect human beings against tyrannical injustice, a war to give victory to their own ideas of right and good, and which is their own war, carried on for honest purpose by their free choice, is often the means of their regeneration. A man who has nothing for which he's willing to fight for, nothing he cares for more about than he does his personal safety, is a miserable creature who has no chance of being free, unless made and kept free by the exertions of better men than himself. As long as justice and injustice have not terminated their ever-renewing fight for ascendancy in the affairs of mankind, human beings must be willing, when the need is, to do battle for one against the other." You know, it's hard to argue with this. Somewhere between isolationism and intervention, there must be a middle ground. Finding it is up to our leaders. Where are those leaders, and what is our foreign policy? Those questions better be answered quickly, or the consequences from delay could be severe. Do we have any leaders that even understand this? I fear that we don't, but I pray that some will stand up and lead us. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
Colonel, the Coast Guard announced this week that they'll once again be participating in Operation Drywater in 2022. Operation Drywater is a year-round boating under the influence awareness enforcement campaign. The mission is to reduce the number of alcohol and drug-related accidents and deaths through increased recreational boater awareness and by fostering a stronger, more visible deterrent to alcohol use while on the water. Operation Drywater's Heightened Awareness and Enforcement three-day weekend takes place annually around the 4th of July, a holiday unfortunately known for drinking and boating, along with deadly accidents. Boating under the influence of alcohol continues to be the leading contributing factor in recreational boating deaths. In 2020, 18% of all boating deaths were directly related to alcohol consumption. The Coast Guard, in partnership with the National Association of State Boating Law Administrators, along with many other members of the boating safety community, are coordinating this nationwide event July 2nd through the 4th. Maritime law enforcement agencies throughout the federal government, along with all state and local law enforcement, will be participating with increased patrols and sobriety checkpoints. Last year, more than 7,500 law enforcement officers representing 575 agencies and 193 Coast Guard units made contact with more than 330,000 boaters on 115,000 recreational vessels. Federal, state, and local maritime law enforcement officers made 630 arrests for boating while under the influence. Also remarkable was the over 42,000 boating-related safety violations that were found during that three-day weekend. You know, my 30 years in the Coast Guard, I've responded to a number of accidents and have seen boaters seriously injured and killed. Many of these boaters would never consider driving a car after drinking, but think that having a few drinks while boating is really not that big of a deal. What many don't realize is that sun, wind, noise, vibration, the rocking of the boat are all stressors while you're boating. And those stressors actually intensify the effects of alcohol and drugs and even some medications. As part of Operation Drywater Weekend, recreational boating safety volunteers will be out at marinas and on the water educating boaters about safe boating practices. And guess what? You can also volunteer. Just do a web search for Operation Drywater and sign up. So if you're jumping on a paddleboard, kayaking in the lake, or heading out on the boat this summer, leave the alcohol for when you get back after you've enjoyed the day on the water. And don't forget the life jackets. I would love to see my Coast Guard shipmates board this summer for a change. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I really enjoyed that. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss our nation's challenges with former Director of National Intelligence, Rick Grenell. Then two of my advisory board members will interview me. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Start with 40, take a break, do another 30, then stand at ease. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome back to the show my friend Rick Grenell. Rick has served our nation in a number of positions, most recently as the Acting Director of National Security under President Trump. So welcome back, Rick.
Thanks for having me, Denny.
Rick, give us a quick review of the many ways you served our nation. I know you served in the UN and in Germany.
And I was acting director of national intelligence. President Trump asked me to take over the leadership in an acting capacity for all of the intelligence agencies. But I have to say, one of my most exciting jobs that most people forget about was that the president, President Trump, appointed me the presidential envoy for Kosovo-Serbia negotiations. And we were able to achieve 4 economic agreements between Kosovo and Serbia. And it really was so much fun for me.
I'll bet it was. And that's the kind of thing that helps prevent strife, right?
Yeah, I think there's been a perceived conflict in the Balkans for a long time. I'm sure many of the listeners have served in the Balkans. We have a number of Iowa National Guard members that staff the Kosovo mission right now. And so I think there's quite a few Americans that have been in and around the Balkans. But the perceived conflict, I think, has for 20 years really taken a toll on the economic situation in the Balkans. And many American and European investors have been skittish about investing in the Balkans because of that perceived conflict. But I was somebody who wanted to let the investor community know that the Balkans is a great place to invest in and make money. And it's an untapped resource. And so now that's what I'm doing from the private sector, is helping companies strategically invest in the Balkans in a way that they can make money and create jobs for Americans.
And it also helps the countries in the Balkans. It's an everybody wins situation, right?
It is. I mean, it's. I would say that perceived conflict in the Balkans has really prevented businesses to flourish. I'll just give you one quick example. There aren't McDonald's in Kosovo or Albania. There are Burger Kings, but there are not McDonald's. And so that's a simple brand that is something that you know, should be able to expand and create more jobs for Americans and American companies.
Gee, that's pretty simple. That's not very complex. Okay, let's look at some of the bigger issues. Maybe we should look a little bit at what Russia's doing to Ukraine. That could happen in other countries. There's no reason to think that Russia's going to stop here, that I'm aware of. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I think that we have a problem in that, you know, Ukraine has largely been a bridge country between Russia and the West. And President Zelensky moved it into a more pro-West stance. And that obviously was a good thing. But clearly the Russians, they didn't like the pro-West tilt that was happening under Poroshenko and under other leaders in Ukraine. And I think they made a move to stop that tilt. And clearly what we saw in the Obama administration is the grabbing of Crimea, a portion of Ukraine. And there were very little consequences for that. And that was an incredible lesson for Putin to see that the administration of Barack Obama and Joe Biden didn't penalize him in any tough way after he grabbed Crimea. I would also argue that Chancellor Merkel, who was the leader of Germany at the time and the leader of Europe, also did not create a atmosphere where the Russians would feel penalized. If anything, I would argue that Chancellor Merkel continued to go closer to the Russian leader as well as the Russian economy, because she began to really ignore the warning signs on having an over-reliance on Russian gas and Russian energy, and told me to my face that they could, the German government could control Putin and that he would never use leverage over them. I think it was clear when the government of Chancellor Merkel and Senate Democrats joined together to drop the Trump sanctions on the Russian pipeline into Europe, that was yet another sign to Putin that this administration was quite feckless. And so I blame Senate Democrats for dropping those sanctions on the Russian pipeline for the war in Ukraine. I think they gave a surrender white flag moment. And we have to be very clear about that. Many of these same Democratic senators are trying to pretend that we need to do more for Ukraine now because President Trump didn't do enough before. And I just want to be clear about something. President Trump tried to sell Ukraine arms. Joe Biden is giving Ukraine arms.
Okay. You're bringing out some stuff that I haven't heard before. But
well, look, I think that, you know, the media has largely fallen for this trap that the humanitarian disaster in Ukraine is enough of a heartbreak where Americans have to spend a lot more money. And listen, I want to be very clear. No human can watch what's happening in Ukraine and not feel an outrage that something must be done. But I would argue that if you took Newsmax and CNN and MSNBC and Fox News all to Mali or the Congo, that you would have some politicians in Washington, D.C. calling for a no-fly zone in Mali. I think the humanitarian crises around the world are almost endless. And we have to be able to ask ourselves, where's the UN? Where is that entity that is designed to be the altruistic entity that is the first responder, because 193 countries come together and do something together? So where is the UN on Ukraine? And why does it always fall to Americans to have to fund these issues? Look, we're just coming off this horrific school shooting in Texas. And I think that you should take the money that was earmarked for other people's security around the world, and you should stop it and redirect it to our schools, and that we should have school safety in America as our top priority before we start sending money overseas for other people's security.
That makes sense, because for many years, America acted like the world's cop. we were out solving everybody's problems. And that's nonsense right now. It may or may not have made sense back then, but we're broke and hurting and there's huge threats, and we're still doing it financially anyway. And there's a tendency, I think, to do it militarily. I think you're right on, Rick. We need to put America first, right?
Well, look, I think what the left tries to do is pretend that we who want to put America first are somehow selfish and callous to the world's problems. And I would just say to my friends on the left, you need to travel a little bit more around the world, because there's not a single country that doesn't show up at a diplomatic meeting and ask for something for themselves from the United States. Everybody's asking. They have been in tens of thousands of diplomatic meetings and they all ask us for something. They want us to pay for something. And every country puts themselves first. We're the only country that gets in trouble when we put ourselves first.
Gee, that makes so much sense that we have to look in the mirror and ask why we're doing that. Well, there's more to discuss about our nation's challenges, and Rick will stay with us. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom Troops. It's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, most days. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. Our newest sponsor, FreedomOneCoffee.com, is offering you 15% off your first purchase with the promo code FREEDOM. I urge you to check out this online coffee company today. Not only do they roast your coffee fresh, but they also have the best-looking coffee packaging I've ever seen, all of which was designed by a proud Marine veteran. Their website is easy to use, and they have options you cannot find anywhere else, including bourbon and Cabernet barrel-aged coffees at FreedomOneCoffee.com. This coffee is for the hardworking, freedom-loving American like you. The company is owned by a hardworking Army officer and his wife. Their coffee is flying off the shelves everywhere they retail it. So again, I urge you to visit FreedomOneCoffee.com and enter the promo code FREEDOM at checkout for 15% off this amazing product owned by an amazing soldier. FreedomOneCoffee.com.
We were instrumental in passing the VA Mission Act so more veterans could have options and freedom in their health care.
We are leading the charge to end America's endless wars, bringing thousands of troops home and stopping trillions of dollars from being wasted.
Our key to success?
You. We bring your voice to leaders calling the shots so we can all have a better future. We are Concerned Veterans for America, the voice of veterans for freedom and prosperity.
Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with former Director of National Intelligence Rick Grinnell about our nation's challenges. Rick, you made a really good point as we were going out. Everybody wants the U.S. to give them money and also military support if they need it. And we're called bad when we decide to put America first. It really is time for us to do that, isn't it? Put America first.
Absolutely. And we shouldn't feel bad about it, because we actually are the most generous nation in the world as well. And we are, as a wealthy nation, as a blessed nation, we are in a position to be able to do a lot. And we should do a lot. And we do a lot. When you look at the UN's funding, for instance, we're a quarter of the UN funding and a quarter of the peacekeeping operations. We have Americans that jump when there is a humanitarian crisis. We are literally the most generous nation in the world when you add up our bilateral money, our multilateral money, and our nonprofit and the system that we have in this country where people individually respond. The Europeans, they expect their governments to do the work. There is not a system in place where society writes personal checks at the same level that they do in the United States. In Europe, they don't have generous nonprofits that exist to fund public policy issues. That's just not what happens. When there's a humanitarian disaster, the people of Europe expect the EU and their individual countries to give the money. And there's less of a emphasis on the individual. What is the individual going to do? And in our country, we don't have that. When you combine all of the funding that we do personally and through the government, we are the most generous nation in the world. And we shouldn't feel bad about wanting to spend on school safety or other issues for us.
Yes, sir. I consider the fact that our southern border isn't trying to keep people in. Our crisis down there is people trying to get into our country, not trying to get out of America.
Well, one thing, if I can add on that, Denny, because it really is something that I feel passionate about, is that, you know, keeping to this theme of how generous Americans are, we have the most generous immigration visa system in the world. We give 1 million people a year U.S. citizenship. No other country comes close to that. Our visa system and the number of tourists that get to come into this country or students studying is unprecedented. We are extremely generous with immigration. But unfortunately, there's 100 million people who want to come in and stay in this country. We have a huge waiting line. And so I don't think that it's callous at all. And we shouldn't feel embarrassed by saying we want rules. We want people to wait in line. And I also don't buy this argument from the left that somehow immigrants, just because someone is an immigrant, a first or second generation Americans, that somehow they want people cutting the line and jumping in front on the immigration issue and they want an open border. I don't think so. I think people who wait in line and who do it legally want you to get behind them in line. They don't want you to cut.
Yes, sir. If we are a nation of law, and that's the strength of us, we're a constitutional republic, we're a nation of law, then obey the law. I mean,
how? Well, also, when the law is very generous,
yes,
we shouldn't feel bad about that. And we should also articulate constantly so that the left doesn't have the ability to define us. We should say, we welcome first and second generation Americans. By the way, I have to tell you, first and second generation Americans, unlike any other demographic, are truly pro-Trump and pro-Republican right now. They are the canaries in the coal mine as to what is happening in this country. They have left fascism and totalitarianism. They know what it's like when a media just swallows the ruling party line. They see it in their country and they don't want it to happen in this country. And so I think our problem is really with fifth, sixth, seventh generation white liberals who have trained their kids for 20 years to hate this country, even though they haven't traveled around the world to understand that we live in the greatest country in the world.
You know, that's true. By any standard you want to come up with, there's nobody with more freedom. There's no one with more prosperity. As bad as our situation is right now, we're still the best place in the world to live.
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. And all that because we started with Russia and Ukraine. China is a big issue. I don't want to take a lot of time on it, but how big an issue is China? I think it's huge. I think the things they're doing in our country right now, not militarily, are horrendous.
I think they're horrendous. I think that we all recognize that China is a real crisis. The Chinese are really good at playing the long game, and they've been playing the long game in America for a long time. They control a lot of our big tech. They control our universities. They control Hollywood, and they have permeated into our state and local and federal politicians. And it's a crisis. We have to be very clear. Remember that COVID-19 started in Wuhan, China. And it was covered up by the Communist Party of China. And they did not want to be clear about it. And we have suffered because of that lack of transparency. And because many on the left have told us to shut up and sit down and not be racist by calling out a communist government that covered up a pandemic.
Yeah, name calling is one of the things that really bugs me. If you don't do this, you're racist. You apparently don't even know the definition of the word racist. I mean, I'm all in favor of ending this nonsense name calling by everybody.
Well, the one thing you have to remember about the left's attacks on people, calling them racist, sexist, homophobe, or the new one, a Russian agent, if you allow them to silence you, because that's what they're trying to do, they're trying to embarrass you into saying, oh my gosh, that person's calling me a racist or a homophobe. I better shut up and not continue down this path of conversation. That's what they want. And there's only one person that can give them that power, and that's you. If you acquiesce then you're giving them that power. I turn it around. I don't care what people call me. When someone calls me a racist for having the thought that you should have an ID to vote, I turn it around and I say, I'm not a racist. You're a cheater. You're trying to cheat on elections. And when someone says to me that I'm somehow a homophobe, even though I'm gay, they say, oh, you're a homophobe if you support the Florida bill, which they called Don't Say Gay bill. I say, no. I'm for parents' rights. And I think it's creepy that you want to talk about sex with a kindergartner. And so we've got to turn these issues around and label them like they're labeling us and not take it. You got to have thick skin and you got to fight back, but you need to move into the pissed off phase because we're losing our country.
Well said. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Rick Grinnell. Rick, we only got a couple of minutes left, but you're working hard now to help my home state of California get away from its ruinous woke status and into a reasonable place to live. Tell us about what you're doing.
Well, we're having great success, but we aren't talking about it too much because I'm trying to just say a little bit under the radar. But I will tell you and your audience that we're making great grounds in trying to find unregistered conservatives and getting them registered to vote in California and to take on the terrible voter rolls of California. Yesterday, I just got from one of the counties in California an individual who sent me 3 ballots that they received at their house. 2 of them was for the husband of the house, the same ballot 2 times. And the 3rd ballot was for their daughter who 4 years ago registered to vote in the state of Washington. And so no one will ever be able to convince me that the voter rolls of California are cleaned up. I think they're a mess. And I think that's why Gavin Newsom still has emergency powers on California because of COVID so that they can do recklessly mailing out mail ballots to every single person on the voter rolls. And they know the voter rolls are a mess. And so the ballots that are being flooded into the mail system and mailboxes and mail rooms across the state are erroneous ballots, people who don't live here, illegals, dead people, residency violators, people who moved out a long time ago. So it's really a mess. And our organization, Fix California, is doing the hard work. It's going to take us 4 or 5 years, but we're going to give it a fight in California.
Well, as a guy who was born and raised there, thank you for doing that for my home state. Rick, thank you. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for all you have done and are doing for our nation. I'm proud that we're friends and you're my hero. Thanks for being with us today.
Danny, all the best. Thanks for having me.
Well, this concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour with 2 members of the show's advisory board interviewing me. Then the 3 guys who founded this show, co-host Josh Breimeyer, former Wood Radio director Phil Power, and yours truly, will discuss how this all started 15 years ago. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag military history and our Armed America Report. Troops, I'm not fond of pain and I absolutely won't use addicting products. That's why I can recommend Day 3 Creation products if you're in pain. Use the code FREEDOM when you order at day3creation.com and save 20%. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for jumping jacks. Do 50 good ones, then grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.